Hey guys, this is Eric Wimmer Oz from FM Lut, and you're listening to Wrestle Hour Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror. Greetings, viewers and listeners. Meat Hook Jim here, the Wrestle Horror Podcast, joined always by my co-host, Donnie Hoover. Donnie, we got a lot of snow yesterday.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. We got about 6 to 8 inches dumped on us, and I wasn't happy about it at all.
Oh, you and me both. I had to drive in it, so.
Yeah, right? Sucked.
And joining us on this episode of Wrestle Horror, up in the Great White North, we're welcoming Oz Oimei, who has a promotion called FML. Oz, how are you doing tonight?
Doing wonderful, but a bit chilly too as well. It's cool.
How's the temperature up there?
Oh, and we have the conversion. You won't like me. It's at least minus 15 degrees Celsius. So for you guys, I got no idea. Celsius Fahrenheit, as much as I like to, I don't know the difference.
If people want to know bad enough, they can get a conversion calculator.
Yeah, exactly. Take your Google it. It's easy, guys. Just that my hands are full right now. I couldn't do the conversion.
All we know is it's damn cold. That's what
right.
It was.
Yeah, exactly. Cold is the key
Great
there.
White North. Keyword.
So, you know, welcome to Wrestle Horror. Donnie had told me, and he reached out to you and everything, and he'd mentioned your promotion up there. And as a matter of fact, we interviewed, FTM, Beast King.
Yes, Beast King. Friend of mine. He's actually a regular of FML. Mm-hmm. Yep. I love the guy.
Yeah, he had the honor of getting our very first explicit rating on our podcast.
Yes, he did.
No doubt. Yeah. Yeah.
We had to plaster out all over the place.
The thing with us in French is that French Canadian tend to swear a lot. So we have the bad idea to translate that swearing into English. So for us, it's like super normal. It's super casual.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I'll avoid giving you the explicit.
Oh, no, you're censor. Good. Yeah, we let him roll. We let him roll with it. We were fine.
After so beating, Frankie, you know, but it's all good.
It's like I said, I learned about you because, like I said, I wasn't very familiar with the promotion, and I learned from the because I'm on the Wrestle Life membership site from Brutal Bob mm-hmm. Evans, which I recommend everybody doing if you like wrestling. If you want to know about wrestling, sign up for the Wrestle Life membership site. It's a great value, a lot of good info, yeah. And he had
if
done
you
an interview
bring it to the next level.
Yes, absolutely. And he had you on there for an interview because you're known up in Quebec area as a premier promoter. You draw very big crowds and, you know, do very well. So I wanted to get you on here for the Wrestle Horror group and talk a little bit about your promotion and, you know, pick your brain a little bit. We're like, we're a casual talk, but we're like a learning podcast. Mm-hmm. So we'll kind of do like what Bob did and pick your brain a little bit and get some good stories out of you and that kind of thing. So if you could start from wherever you'd like to.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I've been in wrestling since I'm 16. I'm just turned 36. So it's been 20 years. I really like talking about Bob because Bob is the one who made the difference to me. Like in wrestling, if you want to have like sympathy and recognition, well, buy a dog. Huh? I don't know for you guys, but nobody ever going to give you recognition in wrestling. All so right. By all means, I want to take the time to acknowledge Bob because he's the one who made the difference. Mm-hmm. I was bitter about wrestling. I was grumpy about wrestling. You know, like, and I mentioned it in the podcast I did with him. It's like, I legit went there to shoot the seminar for the promotion that was hosting the seminar. And just because I like what he posted, but I started shooting without any expectation, just listen to the guy and whatever. And I end up like, I was still filming, but I end up like asking so many questions. And to this day, we end up talking nonstop. And he's the one who made the difference for me, because I was so bitter about wrestling. And to this day, a lot of people like, oh, you should change. No, I didn't change. I just evolved. And I got tired of staying at the same plateau and then went up. And then that, fast forward like about 4 years later, I end up with my own promotion, because for almost 20 years, I saw the do and don'ts, mostly the don'ts of what not to do when promoting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was like, okay, when I'm going to promote, I'm going to do this, this, this. And I keep all in mind in a big notebook in my head. And that's it. You know, that's exactly what I did. And first show we did, I would have been happy if we would have like 250 people. The pre-sale was 400.
Nice.
So, and the venue capacity was, let's say, 5. And let's say a bit more than that, probably a lot more than that, end up going in. We were caught off guard, to be honest with you. We were caught off guard. But it was like, okay, is it like one trick pony, one beginner's luck, whatever. So we did another one, and even more people showed up. And I'm like, okay, third time the charm, whatever. Let's try. You know, I end up having Speedball Mike Bailey on the show, and TDT, which is Tabernacle Team. I don't know if you, they've been extra on Impact, and they're dressed like two lumberjack.
Yeah, Jim's a big Impact fan, so
he, I've watched good, Impact. Good. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, so pretty much what happened is full house again. So I'm like, okay, I've been doing, you know, like as a promoter, there's two type of thing: what you love and what the fan loves. So then sometimes it's not exactly the same. And I was keeping that in mind. And me personally, I wanted to do an adult show, but I keep it on the back burner. And what I end up doing is that I did like a co-brand in my own brand. So I did 1 month a bar show, and 1 month it was a big show in a church that got morphed into a sports center. So it's a big, big, big church. So at least 500 people can go there. And then we end up doing the bar, 18 and over, 500 people as well. This one, though, was our last show, the last week before COVID. So we had a bit of a COVID scare over there. And it was a Friday, so I ended up having 300 people. I would have loved to fill that one up, but that was only our fourth show and the first show on Friday. And the reaction was insane. I had Excess versus Shannon Decker. I don't know if you know Shannon Decker. He's a crazy, crazy guy doing hardcore wrestling and stuff. He's been to Japan as well recently. So he was fresh off a Japanese tour. Match of the year candidate for sure there. Yes. And yeah. On my second show, I brought in Bob, and we made a little challenge. He told me, like, I asked him right away, like, what is your record for attendance on a seminar? And he told me, I think it was like 20 or 30, something like that. I said, you know what? I'm going to make everything on my own to beat that record. We end up having 50 people showed up to a seminar. Wow. He was freaking out. He was like, that's my all-time, you shattered my all-time record.
Nice.
And then during, in between that second and third show, Sir Mo from Texas, Bobby Orne, hit me up as well. It's like, yeah, I saw what you did with Bob. I want to come over. And I'm like, you're like a WWE legend. WWF legend.
Right.
Sure, man, if you want to come over. It's like, yeah, I want to see your stuff. I want to see what you're up to. I heard many good thing about you. The only thing I'm asking in exchange is to book two of my students for a match, because I want them to perform in front of a big crowd. That's my only request to you. And I'm like, so you're a WWF legend asking me? I'm like, there might be like a language barrier or something, you know, that I might not get it. So I went to Bob. I was like, can I talk to you about something? And then I talked to him. It's like, no, it's legit. He really, really love your stuff. And he wants to come over and see. So I'm like, wow, like my third show. And making way with guy from Ring of Honor, making way with former WWF guy. I'm like, wow. And he showed up. It was Mo. It was Sir Mo, Bobby Orton. And funny story, we went to the restaurant afterward, and Dink, you know Dink, the
Dink the clown.
Exactly. Live in the same city as I do, and out of the blue, when we were at the restaurant, Dink showed up with his wife, and I'm like, I'm with Sir Mo at the restaurant, and then there's Dink. I'm like, hey Mo, like, what? It's Dink right behind you. He's like, no. And it's been like maybe 30 years they didn't see each other, maybe 25, I don't know. And it was so magic moment, you know, like they meet up and it was like they never, like 25 years gone, you know, like,
yeah.
So
didn't miss a beat.
Exactly. Those kind of moments, man, make the world go round, you know, like it's good stuff, good feel good. I love feel good moment, you know. I'm a sucker for cheap pop. But yeah, so that was my little answer to your big question, or the opposite, your answer to your little question.
Yeah, that was perfect. And yeah, one thing I wanted to get out, this is going to be the learning part, because I already heard it the first time, but I want to hear it again, but I'm willing to share it with other promoters that want to listen. You do something very unique for your shows, and it does really well for you. And it might even contribute to your big pre-sales, is you have a system, which I'm going to start incorporating it into mine once we get out of COVID. So if it's successful, I'm giving you all the credit. You have this thing. You do instead of a pre-show, like a dark match, you do a VIP match, to where you take like an actual title match or one of your big time matches, and you will put that on the front of the show before the tapings even start, as an incentive for people to buy the VIP tickets.
Correct.
So, I mean, if you could explain that a little bit, and your process on all that, because I thought that was fantastic.
Honestly, like, my way is I need to give the fans a reason to buy the VIP. You know, like, and on the, I think it was the show with Mo, we end up selling even more VIPs than regular tickets, because people wanted so much to see the VIPs. The problem is with, it's all about words. Wording is a thing you need to fix when you're promoting. Dark match is negative. It's like, I don't want to be dark match. I'm not a jobber. I'm not a jabroni. I'm not whatever. It's a VIP, man. People pay more to see you guys perform. And it's all about plus value. How would you justify people paying like $5 more on their tickets? Well, first things first, if your venue is always full, well, they want to be first row. They want to be close to the action.
Right.
So that would be the main selling point, but being first row only gets you so far. So you need to put plus value on this. And I'm a really, really big fan of what AEW Dark is doing. Okay. You know, like getting their talent up, and then they made the transition, smooth transition to the main roster as well. Mm-hmm. So it's all about little details like that that make the big, big difference. You know, like I remember I did a match on the third show. I told them straight up, like, this is an invitational. So whoever wants to show up. And we end up with seven guys, and all across Canada, even a guy from Mexico. So nice. I was like, bring it on. And they loved it, even though it's VIP. You know, like, they didn't mind at all because it was still full. I had, for me, I don't like go halfway, okay? Even if the VIP get their entrance video, they got the music, they got the lights, they got everything from the beginning of the show till the end. It's the same treatment for everybody. You know, like I won't go like shut up the light or put on the regular lights. Like the show start, VIP, then we take a little break, then we go main show. And okay, the goal of the people is that they're hungry, so they want to go on the main show. So it's only getting better and better. So it's win-win at the end of the day because those people are hungry and they want to go to the main card.
Right. Now, do you run just one match for VIP or do you do, or does it vary?
Two, three, depending. Either two regular length or three smaller.
Okay.
You know, or a semi-squash. I'm not a big fan of squash, but by all means, like two is the best length. Three, it's a bit pushy, and you might, because you have like a 30 minutes delay before the VIP and the main door to open. Mm-hmm. So I always go two is the best bet I did, and it gives plenty of time for the guys to work and not do only 5 minute matches. Because even if you're VIP, man, work your ass off, right, show what you got, and you might go up to the card.
So you basically open the doors like an hour and a half before normal showtime and then, you know, let people in,
an hour. I always put an hour. So they enter for 15 minutes, then another 30 minutes of wrestling.
Okay.
And then 15 minutes of break, other people entering. Give and take, yeah.
Nice.
It's been a while since I've run shows. So I don't have my list in front of me. Usually I got my list and everything. Yep, but give and take an hour.
Yeah, see, like I said, I thought that was brilliant when you was talking about that. And I was like, man, I was like, I'm going to start doing that myself because we've done VIP tickets. But the only thing we did was we upsold for people to have a table, front row table. Mm-hmm. And then we gave them like a pizza and then a 2 liter of pop. Yeah. But yeah, I didn't even consider, like you said, the VIP matches. I was like, that's brilliant, you know.
You know, like food, not everybody likes some kind of food. So by all means, they will end up eating no matter what. So, you know, like freebies, I'm okay with it. But at the same time, I'm more of a fan of plus value. You know, if they really want a pizza, if they really want to have beer, they know where to find it. It's right near the convenience store, like in the corner of the venue. We have a restaurant and everything. So they get everything they want and for cheap, you know. Mm-hmm. That's another thing. I always go, I don't know if you guys in the U.S. are big with microbrewery or local brewery.
Yeah, they're starting to get bigger here, yeah.
Okay. Us, it's a craze over there, like, every major city got a local brewery, and that's exactly what I did. You know, I end up partnership. Like, it's easy to partnership with Budweiser and whatever, but you're just a number at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So they don't care about giving you, like, discount or whatever. Versus if you go with a local brewery and it's well-known, by all means, you get good price, you get freebies, and people love it because you encourage local business.
Very cool. Yeah.
So that's what I did. Honestly, that's what I did for now. I'm running Saint-Jean, but during COVID, I purchased Saint-Hyacinthe, which is about an hour from Saint-Jean. I purchased a federation promotion over there. So I got two rings now, and I merged the other promotion with mine. And the first thing I did, I called the local breweries, like, yeah, I'm going to run show. Are you down to do business? It took 12 hour at a contract sign with all the amount, all everything. No, I'm like 24 hour. I'm like 24 hour, but with all the numbers and everything was crystal clear. They were super happy about it. I was super happy about it. And now I'm just waiting for COVID to end.
Right. Yeah. Did they have any sign? Do you guys have a athletic commission up there? Or?
No.
No, you guys are free running.
Yes.
They're giving any indication.
Don't give them an idea.
Right. Yeah. Keep that shut. We'll have to edit that out. They give you any indication on when they're going to start opening stuff back up for you guys?
Look, right now, the gym are closed. The restaurant are closed. We just opened back the barber salon like yesterday.
Really?
So it's brutal, honestly. Everything is shut down. We're only essential worker allowed to work. So it's a mess, honestly. Like, and the vaccine is there, but they don't honor like the second dose. So Pfizer is mad at us for it. So right. Yeah, it's a mess. It's a mess.
Yeah.
I'm personally optimistically, I'm expecting running September of this year, realistically next year.
Okay. I'll say it.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
2 years.
Time to game plan.
Oh, no worries. That's already like.
You already got a set.
Right now. Yeah, exactly. I'm working right now on a pie. Oh, yeah. French here. I'm looking to upgrade my sponsorship deal to like sell the plus value to all my sponsor and maximize it, because I got how do we call that, an highway ad. So you know, like on the highway, like a big billboard type of deal. So I got that as well. Every shows as far as a sponsor. Mm-hmm. So I could cross-sponsored as well other sponsor with it. So I said, like, this is the value of what I'm getting you, and you could have it like on the billboard. This is the value. What can you do with it? Can we reach in between or something?
Oh, cool.
So I work around.
Now, you have a TV deal, right? Is that like a local TV deal there? Or?
Correct. Well, actually, it's all over the province. And even in the next province, so I think Ontario as well. And they're working right now on slowly but surely an English version of it. But I don't recall the name. But I think it was Dream TV or something like that. Yeah, something like that. But it's in French, it's Frisson Télé. But it's all over the province. And it's easy to access, like it's cable television.
Oh, very cool.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's the first one, but I'm looking to have more. Obviously, hit the English market as well as much as possible. So because all my product is bilingual. So obviously, Quebec province is mostly French, as most people know or guess. But I don't mind all. So I'm always producing in both. So I'm on independentwrestling.tv. If you want to see all the show, they are both there in French and English. So I think I was the first one. When they hit me up for the services, they mentioned me. I was the first one doing it in French. So,
oh, nice. There you go. Knocking the walls down. Look at you. Very cool. Like I say, yeah, I don't want to pick too much of your brain on the promotion stuff.
I love wrestling. I love promoting. That's what I do. Yeah. So just ask. I don't mind. Yeah,
but like I say, we didn't realize before until we started talking previously before we got on air, but your promotion basically fits into our wrestle horror genre completely.
One brand of it. Yeah, half a brand of it is fitting. Yes, perfectly fit.
So you told us that and said it was basically kind of horror related, more adult oriented.
Yes. We have all the persona, like Beast King is there. I got Mad Scientist. I got like Escapee of Mantle House. I got a witch. I got a voodoo priest who has not yet to debut, but will debut once COVID is in. It's finished. Tons of different character. I got what do you call that? I got a mosquito. And then, that's a good one. And I got I'm looking at it. What's the name? It's not a fish. It's large.
Shark or a whale?
No. I got it on the my tongue.
Manatee?
No. Oh, it's cool. Actually, it's cool. Jeez. You will be mad at me if I don't remember.
Oh, no, you're fine.
I don't remember. It's a fish, but not a fish, like a shark. It's a mix between a shark. I got manta in it, but it's not it.
A mastodon?
No, it's a fish. It's a fish.
Megalodon.
What?
Megalodon?
Megalodon? No, it's not a dinosaur, by all means. whatever. I'll find it, because I feel bad for the guy now. Huh? It's one of my talents. Let me check quick, fast, because I'm a man of word, and I feel bad for him.
Okay.
What's his name? Stingray. Here you go.
Oh, Stingray.
Okay.
I would have never found it. Never, ever found it. For sure. Stingray. Yeah, it's a stingray. That's it.
Okay.
Is that a fish or is that a...
It's a fish.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's not a shark. Huh?
No.
So
no.
Stingray.
Yeah.
Stupid stingray. Okay. Yeah. So different gimmick. I got lumberjacks. I got guys that think they are the NWO, but not. It's a mixed bag of a cartoon. And like I said, I got two brands. Like, one is mature, over 18, so I expect maybe blood. No, definitely blood. A bit of hardcore, sometimes maybe ultra-violent, but not that much. Neon, a bit. I'll see how I feel about it. But that's only the bar show. Like, the family show, no, it's all clean, no blood, no way. Mm. All clean, family fun. No swearing.
Yeah, that's what ours. Ours is family friendly at the moment. And we had actually talked about it, me and my wife, about doing a side brand and making it more adult oriented and more extreme.
But you need to make the line very clear and specific, you know, because different. Like, it could be the same branding, but a little bit more that it's obvious that it's okay, guys, don't bring your kids there. It's adult. Right. But yeah, it's always manageable. People are like, are you sure you want to associate FML with this? Like, the way I'm going to build it, it will be two different brands. So people will notice. Like, mm-hmm. I'm pretty much splitting my fan into three, like those that go family show, those that go hardcore, and those that go anything, like right. All boat shows,
yeah,
which I don't mind a lot, you know, like it's a safe bet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been scrolling through your promotions Facebook page while we've been talking, and yeah. I found El Mosquito.
Yes, correct, that's a guy.
And I also found somebody that we've interviewed in the past, and that would be Lufisto.
Yes, mm-hmm. Correct. She was supposed to be in a Rumble. Unfortunately, she got, I think some medical condition happened, and she was about to go to Germany, or she came back for Germany. I don't remember the timeline exactly, but yes, Lufisto is from Quebec, so it's not that far from where I'm running my shows. She's a good friend of mine as well. Known her for many, many years.
She was a great, one of our best shows when we interviewed her. She was very cordial and very forthcoming and, you know, just a pleasure to talk to.
Very passionate. Yep.
It was a lot of fun.
She's awesome.
Yep, so.
Oh, good, Jim. Sorry.
No, go ahead, Donnie. I'm collecting my thoughts.
Okay. Yeah, I was just going to start moving more into the, since we had talked about the 18 and over show, and so obviously you're into like horror and that kind of stuff. So I mean, are you into like haunted houses, and have you ever done haunted houses or acted in one or anything?
Well, I got tons of friends I was doing at the La Ronde, the haunted house at La Ronde. So like around, even some of my worker, I've been doing the haunted house. They were extra on the haunted house, like demons and stuff, like with full on makeup, professional makeup and stuff. I'm more of I'm scared of scare jump and stuff. Mm-hmm. As much I'm very honest about it, and I love laughing about it, because I'm like, I'm 6'2", 400 pounds, and I'm like, Don't try to scare me.
Yeah, if somebody hits you with a drop panel, you freak out on them, huh?
Well, pretty much. Like, I'm a type of guy, like, if you scared me, I might punch you in the face. So that's the type of deal I try to avoid as much as possible, because we're doing, like, there was a, we went to a thing which called the Haunted Village. So it's pretty much like a historical village that they do about maybe an hour away from my place. And usually it's all historical, you know, like by the book, how to do candle and stuff like that. You know, like your classic historical village. But when it comes to Halloween, they turn into the haunted village. So they grab all the village and turn it into haunted stuff. You know, like they do haunted house. You have haunted house for kids, haunted house for adult, and you have like the over-the-top supermatcher. You're going to freak out when you see that haunted house. I think it was done by, if I'm not mistaken, Rémi Couture, which is like a prop artist here in Quebec that actually got arrested because his stuff was looking too good and people were freaking out over it. And they almost got like in jail and almost lost everything because his stuff looked too good. Wow. And it was, you know, like when you're so good at your job, they try to arrest you because they thought it was the real deal. That's messed up.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was the thing that we did. I tend to stay around the kids area because people were popping out of nowhere to grab you and do jump scare, which I was not a big fan of. But yeah. It was cool. It was cool. What else? I'm a big fan of a slasher movie. I don't know if that was one of the next question. Yeah, I'm a big fan of slasher for sure. I see Jason over there and It. I Pennywise. I watch all the classic horror slasher movie. I watched the remake of It, Chapter 1 and 2. It depends. Sometimes I'm in more watching scary movie mood. It depends of a lot of stuff. You know, like I tend to go by patterns. So let's say I'm going to watch ton of comedy. Then I'm going to switch ton of anime and then ton of horror stuff. Then ton of slasher, then ton of anime horror stuff. You know, like, yeah, I'm not a routine guy. I don't like the always the same stuff all the time.
Right.
I'm all like you can eat buffet style guy.
There you go. Who's your favorite slasher character?
Right.
It's always hard between Freddy and Jason to me personally. I got later on the Halloween craze. I watched the latest one recently and I'm looking for the other ones coming. But I will go with the all-time favorite between Jason and Freddy, I cannot pick one up. Let's go with Jason.
There you go.
Yeah, you just endeared yourself to Donnie because he's a big fan.
Yep, that's my guy.
I kind of figured, like kind of Crystal Lake.
Right.
That's one of Jason.
There's Kane. Yeah, hold on, I'm going to get it.
Yeah, exactly.
There's Kane Hodder right there.
Yeah, exactly. Jason. I recognize the shape.
You know,
I love your logo, by the way, WrestleHorror. That's a sick logo. I'm a big fan of Venom.
Thanks.
And all things Venom, all things Symbiote. So that ring a bell. I don't know if that was the inspiration, but for sure it does remind me of this a bit.
Yeah, actually, a buddy of mine, he's a manager, indie manager here in town. He actually created that for me. And I didn't even know he'd done it. And he just sent it to me one night. And he's like, here, I was thinking about your WrestleHorror idea. And he's like, I made this for you. And I was like, that's freaking sweet.
That's
like,
awesome. Yeah.
You know, Oz, I've got to tell you that, you know, you said you're what, 6'2", about 400 pounds?
Correct, sir.
Okay. Well, I'm a retired haunted house actor.
Okay.
And I'm 6'4". And 300 pounds. So
bigger boy.
I intimidated quite a few people in my day.
No doubt. No doubt.
And I've taken many a punch.
I guarantee, like, so if Oz would have walked through there, you probably would have caught one in the face.
Yeah, exactly. That's why.
But, you know,
c'est la vie.
You've done other things. You do other things just besides promotion now. I mean, you're a wrestler, or were a wrestler, manager, editor, graphic designer. I mean, you've got a lot of hats going on.
Yes, a lot. A bit too much. Even a toque. Look, it's a mess. I should have done that. That's 2 seconds, like an idiot. I should have done that. Okay, it takes two. Yeah, a lot of... graphic designer. I got my own T-shirt store to help out the guy during COVID. So okay. I put that up for my guy, like a pro wrestling tees, but Canadian version to some extent. Because for us, the main thing with pro wrestling tees, unfortunately, the shipping and the custom could be a mess once in a while. You know, like sometimes they pop out random, like custom fees of like $50 of custom fees and stuff like that. So right. Whenever you order. So I end up doing that. The TV show we got, I'm doing the TV show from A to Z by myself. So editing, recording. The only thing I'm not doing is filming, because by all means, like, I need to book the show and be on the show. So I got people doing that, but all the multicam edit, that's me. All the graphic design, the posters you see on the website, that's all me. Wow. I tend to, an average week for me, it's about, right now it's about 90 hour a week, 100 Oof, hour of work per week. I try to keep the promoter pace by working two jobs right now, because I don't want to, when wrestling is going to be back, I don't want to get lazy and go back to like 35 hour or whatever, how many hour a regular person do. Because I don't want to lose that mindset. So that's what's keeping me alive. That's what keep me not thinking too much about the fact that everything is stopped, about COVID and stuff. Because otherwise that would be too depressing. So I'm working. I'm doing two jobs, actually. Right now, I'm working social media for a big brand in Canada. So I'm doing, like, moderation and stuff like that. And during the days, I'm teaching autistic kid how to get to the work and how to, like, giving them tool to how to work, like, a regular life in general, and teaching different kind of stuff. To get better at life, I guess, like giving them tool to learn. Yeah.
Very cool.
I admire that. I definitely admire that, because my stepson is autistic. He's an adult, but you know, he still struggles, and I admire you for the work you do. I appreciate that.
Thank you so much. But that's usually, like, the thing is, most kids with autism, they don't find it early. So they always think they are wrong. And then they show up at like 20 year or something, and then they realize, oh, you have autism. And now they feel bad, but at the same time, they feel relief, because they say, oh, I finally have a name on what was the issue. But now they show up and they're like, okay, so what do I do now? Am I still normal? The answer is yes, obviously you're normal. It's just that your brain might function a bit differently. You might need us to take another approach on certain word or certain wording. And then that's why exactly what I'm doing with the kids. You know, like I go there, I give them project to stimulate them as much as possible, so they learn new passion and they learn new tools while keeping like a work environment. So when they get to job interviews and stuff like that, they don't freeze and they're able to go on and get better job, because unfortunately most of them either got big degree or they end up doing working grocery store, which they don't like. They want to have something different. They want to be validated as a human being, as a normal person. And that's exactly why I'm there with my teams, to make them be better person and make them feel better about themselves.
Very cool.
Oh, kudos to you. I mean, you know, my son's had his issues over the years, and to have somebody like you. I wish there was somebody like you to help him in his formative years, because it's a struggle. And I appreciate you for helping these kids to make their way in the world.
Thank you. I didn't expect the interview to go that route. You make me emotional, but yeah, thank you so much, sir.
No problem. Like so, we just chat, and wherever it goes, it goes.
We do, yeah.
Yeah. No, because I, you know, like the way an autistic child is reacting always, like it's always mean the world to them. You know, like they have that way to make you feel so much special. And whenever somebody talked to me about autistic kid, the way they struggle and everything, I try to help them all, but it's so like, there's so much we can do as one human being too. And unfortunately, there's so many hours in the week, but I'm trying to do my best. You know, like when I received that job, honestly, that job came out of nowhere for me. I was already working tons of hours on the social media gig, and a friend of mine, my announcer, hit me up. It's like, you know what? I got this job, and you fit the perfect. You're the perfect like candidate for the job. And I'm like, bro, you know, I'm already working a lot of hours. And then I saw the job, and I say, you know what? I'm gonna grab it on top of what I'm doing right now. There's no way I cannot pass. Like, it was not even about money, to be honest with you guys. It was not even about money. It was about doing the difference in those kids' life.
Right.
And I've been doing that since November, and I don't see the day goes by. You know, like the day go fast. The kids are motivated. Right now, we're doing a project on stop motion. Mm-hmm. So they animate from scratch a project, and they came out with a storyboard. They came out with everything, and I love to see them work and being proud of what they're doing. You know, like the other group before, we did a board game from scratch. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the session, they play that game, and they were so proud of like other people playing the game, and they look pro. It look, because obviously I use my skill at graphic design and my connection. I say, you know what? I want the game to be like a game you could sell in a store. So I did the extra hour in their back. So when I end up printing the thing, they were like, oh, whoa, that's like a real, real game, guys. And they all, they almost like, they were so emotional. Obviously, kid with autism doesn't have the same reaction to emotion as we do. Right. But you know when it mattered to them, you know, like they were happy about it, they were proud of it. And man, that beat up any paycheck that I could have. Like I didn't do it for the money. When she told me about numbers, say, I don't even care. You know, I just want to do it. Whatever,
man. Just seeing their reaction, that's the big payday.
Exactly, correct. That's same thing for the fans, man. When you do a big show, you know, like the venue might not be full, or you know, like one match might have been working like the way you plan. But if you see kids at the end of the shows getting autograph signed and take your picture with your workers, man, that beat any payoff any day of the week.
Oh yeah. Now, are you teaching them kids to knife edge chop in case their job interview doesn't go well?
Well, this one actually, like, it was super proud to tell me the first day. It's like, yeah, I'm a big fan of pro wrestling. Like, cool. But I'm always trying to not be introduced as the wrestling guys first. Mm-hmm. But all my coworkers always like, and what do you do for a living, Eric? And like, I'm a wrestling promoter. Wrestling, huh, guys? Are you a fan of wrestling, guys? And one is like, yeah, me, I'm a big fan. Like, okay. Can you train me to be a wrestler? Like, oh. Eventually, we were going to work on a school. That's another project coming up. I found the venue and everything. It's just that with COVID, I cannot do that yet. And I actually found a trainer that already trained, I think it was 5 autistic kid. So kid with autism. Mm-hmm. To train them to wrestle, because it's not for everybody, let's be honest. And but on a control environment, they're excelling, you know, like if they are control and everything, and you play smart, let's be honest. Like, I don't want to put one against Beast King in an hardcore match or anything like that. You know, that would be retarded. But sorry, I didn't mean the hard word, but I don't know if it's bad or good to say the hard word here. For us, it's...
Yeah, it is what it is. You say
it. We're good.
Yep.
But that would be inappropriate. Let's put that way. But yeah, we're going to... I'm going to see that. That's the next venture I want to see with a wrestling school and everything. I got good trainer with me. I got Thomas Dubois from TDT, one half of TDT. I got XS from, he was actually the one who gave Kevin Owen and Sami Zayn his first match in the US.
Okay.
In CZW. The infamous CZW four-way,
right.
Which is Sexy Eddie, XS, Kevin Owen, which Kevin Steen, and El Generico, which is Sami Zayn. So he wasn't that match actually. So he gave them the their first match. So yeah, he'll be a trainer. And my other guy was a trainer like in another city that will come for the kids with special need and everything.
Awesome. That'll be interesting to hear how that turns out.
Yeah.
Sure.
So let's see, I'm going to go ahead and drop our question on you, I think. So we don't want to keep you on here all night.
And, I don't mind. So far, so good. I'm not hungry yet, so you can throw a few. It's all good.
There you go. It's a question we ask everybody that comes on the show, and there's no right answer or wrong answer. It's just for fun, and it's kind of corny. So, I mean, you can get as creative as you want with it. But the question is, you are the main character, main serial killer in your own horror film. What's your go-to kill?
Meaning, what do you mean?
What's your main kill, your number one kill? Okay. What's your finisher?
Like the person or the way I would do it?
The way you would do it.
The way you would do it, yeah.
Just I'm like a big fan of head cutting, you know, like straight off, like
cut with the a
katana
off?
Or whatever. Like, you know, like one shot.
With a machete or a sword or
freaking katana, by all means, you know, Japanese mm-hmm. stuff.
So. Oh, there you go.
Okay.
There you go. That would be different.
Very nice.
Just one quick swoop and done with it.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever had a duplicate answer on this, and that's good. I like that. It was every answer is unique in itself.
Mm-hmm.
So lopping off a head with a katana, hey, I'll take it.
Right.
So, Oz, tell us, how can people find out more about you, about FML, and all your social media stuff? Now's the time to let everybody know how to find out about you.
Yes, sir. So I'm a big fan of branding. So what I did, obviously, is one brand to rule them all, which is FMLUTTE.com or everywhere, Twitter, FM Loot, Instagram, FL Loot, Facebook, FM Loot. Everything is there. F like Frank, M like mother, LUTTE.com.
Perfect. You know, this has been an enlightening conversation, learning more about the Quebec side of things. You know, we've talked to Frankie, the mobster. We've talked to Lufisto, and now we've got a promoter we've talked to, because I know that Quebec is a hot spot for wrestling. A lot of great wrestlers have come out of Quebec. And, you know, when I heard what you've done up there and how you're really just, you know, a big time promoter, I mean, let's face it, you're indie promoter, but you've got a great following. So, you know, we really appreciate you coming on and sharing some of your experience and some stories with us.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. And what I appreciate and what's mean the world to me is that, I don't know for you guys, but usually that's the way it goes. In our own province, people tend to disregard us. And then when you go elsewhere, international, whatever, you're like, they do care of what you got to say, you know, like, so, and I appreciate for you guys to take the time to interview me. And I love to share my knowledge as much as possible. And it's mean the world to me that people a few hours away, even maybe a few days away from my place, would like to pick up my brain. And I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And like I said, we'll definitely have you back on. We'd like to pick your brain some more.
Whenever you guys want. If you want anybody, I don't mind at all. Like, if you want to write FM Loot and you have questions, if you have me on Facebook, I try to not add a lot of people on my private profile.
Sure.
Whatever, but write me on FM Loot. That would be a pleasure. And we could talk. If you guys have questions, never be shy to just ask, man. I'm always available. I don't mind working extra hour by all means, and I love sharing my knowledge to anybody that wants to take the time to listen to it.
You know, sharing is what it's all about, and we appreciate that. Don't forget to follow us on all of our social media outlets at Russell Horror. Everything's at Russell Horror, no matter what you look at. Don't forget to follow Oz on his all his social media outlets, and you know, check out some Quebec wrestling. You might find out you really like it, and I think you will.
We're on independentwrestling.tv. By all means, FM Loot is there, both French and English.
Even better. I'm gonna have to go check it out. In the meantime, I am Meat Hook Jim, along with Donnie Hoover and our special guest, Oz from Quebec, FM Loot. Have a good evening, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets, facebook.com/WrestleHorror, Instagram @WrestleHorror, Twitter @WrestleHorror, on YouTube at the Wrestle Horror channel. And you can also find us on our website, www.WrestleHorror.com.